This is my first time, you guys, so I now know how Jacqueline felt when she was on here, even though I know I teach regularly, but I'm your minister today, so I really appreciate the opportunity to come in here. And so what we normally do is we do a kind of a meet and greet here, and I like the way that Phil Frith talks about it. He says it's like you're in the church and you're reaching out to your neighbor, and you're greeting them and kind of giving them a good morning. Sometimes people say where they're at and what the weather's like, but we have, you know, a lot of people in the room today. So I really appreciate you being here. And let me just move my mouse. There we go. And so I'm just going to play a song just to get us all started. Yeah, first time I feel. I mean, I teach in the room all the time, but it seems nerve-wracking when you're doing it here like this. So let me just play some music for us so we can meet and greet each other. So bear with me a minute here. Can we get into that?
One day when an animal will see his ways wrong, the universe will shine. One day when the kind you see in dreams will baffle all our schemes, the universe will shine. One day with a smile the world will be, a new heart will us feel, the universe to shine. One day when immensity is near, this man will conquer fear, and
yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Donovan, and I really like him, so I like to play him. Appreciate all your greetings here. I don't know if there's many rooms like this out there, so I'm really appreciating that there were several of you that put this together for us all to come in and share. And so now we're at the time in the, I'm looking at my schedule, of course. There's a schedule that I look at, and so our statement of purpose is what I talk about now. Excuse me. If you look on our website, we have a statement of purpose and purpose and values. And if Lynn wants to put up the link for that, that would be great. I didn't come in as an admin because I have a feeling that maybe I might get kicked out, so I thought I would come in as a regular person. So hopefully she can put that up. But I really was focusing today on the values of value number two seemed to call out to me when I was looking at them. And it says, we realize that everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he, she is. And also the core value number three, which is we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. So those are the core values. And we have five core values. You can find them on the page that link that Lynn put up. So thank you, Lynn. Lynn is our admin today, just for your information. And Sharon, I'm just going to call her Sharon Baker. Sharon is my reader. She'll be coming up a little bit later. So now I come to the time where we have the announcements. And so we have a couple of events coming up, and I'm actually going to be on one of them, going to one of them, and that is the Santa Barbara Satsang Retreat. That's coming up on the 12th of September through the 14th. So that's a Friday, Saturday, and part of a Sunday. Actually, part of a Friday, all of Saturday, part of a Sunday. And it is really a wonderful retreat. I've been down there. I was down there last year for that. And thank you, Lynn, for putting that up. I was here last year for that, and I can tell you that it is a beautiful place. They have it is the mission, so they have their own worship center there, and it was wonderful. We came in and we actually had a fabulous time in the church, going to their service. They had a fabulous singer. In fact, I tried to see if I could get a CD of her singing, but I couldn't find one, so maybe they just have it there. But wonderful place, and lots of paths we went walking when I was there. We didn't have... I think we had Larry Sire last year, but this time we get to have Bertana, who is, from what I understand, may not do this all that often. You know, Regina would have more of an idea of that, but what a wonderful event it was. And so now, the deadline date for registering, I think they pushed it out a few days, so now it's August 19th. So you need to register by August 19th. And now that's for both retreats. So after that retreat, there's another one called the Soak in the Love. I'm right on that. Let's just check that. Soak in the Love. And I'm going to look at the events. Right. Soak in the Beauty. Excuse me. Soak in the Beauty. They have a Soak in the Love here in Oregon, but they're Soak in the Beauty retreat. And that's going to be following after that event. That's September 14th through 18th. And that, you can look at the, go onto the link and check it out, but it's a whole week being with, you know, kind of taking in what you received on the 12th through the 14th, if you can stay. So isn't that great? I'm going to be going to the Satsang retreat. So, and I know there's some other events that are coming up. I know Regina's going to be in Quincy, Massachusetts, and I know that there is a, and that is on, let's see, that's on November. It looks like 15. And then there's the ACM conference next year. So wonderful things coming up here, and we have a lot of opportunities to get together and to share in physical proximity with each other. Yeah, Lynn will be at the retreat. I will be at the retreat. I know Regina, Timothy Conway, Magnam B, Cortana, and lots of people. I think we have a lot of people going, but they could always use more people because it would be great if we more and more of us are sharing our energy in that space. So really appreciate that. And then, of course, there's the MPP program. I'm not in that, but I know that if you go to the link, let me go to that here. If you go to the link under classes, you can link up under, if you just go right under that, there is Minister Preparation Program. You can check that out. There's a couple of other classes coming up. The core message of A Course in Miracles. That's being taught by Doug Fishman. That's on David Fishman. That's September 8th beginning. And then there's a six-week introduction course to NPI, which begins on October 24th. So a lot of stuff coming up. Trusting everybody, if they do want to take a class, please do check it out. There's going to be a lot of things coming up and more opportunities for us to interact. So anyway, I'm going to do the, right now we're at the point where I call it playing a song so we can kind of ready ourselves, so we can ready ourselves in our hearts to hear what comes through all of us. So I'm going to go back into my music player, and I've got a song here for us, and then Sharon will be reading after that. So I'm going to go into, I hope I haven't missed anything here, kind of looking at what I'm supposed to be doing and trying to make sure I do the right thing here on our guide. So this is what they call the invocation or the opening song, and it's a time for us to contemplate. The message for today is devotion as practice. So let me go into the music then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Wonderful. Let's take a moment. That kind of song kind of calls to my heart to take a moment, just of quiet, just to take that in. So let's just go into a quiet moment here right now. Amazing Grace. Okay, well now we're going to have reading by Sharon, and it's going to be in NTI Hebrews. So I kind of went back and forth on what to do today, but as I was out of town, I didn't get the check, really. But this is what, when I was looking, this is what really very much attracted to me about what to read for this morning. So here is Sharon. Thank you, Sharon.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And can I get a sound check? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Barb. And devotion is really what this morning is about as practice. And on page 401 in the book, Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to begin. Hello there, everyone, you beautiful, beautiful being. Be grateful for who you are, for you are all things. In your gratitude for all things, the awakening to all things occurs. You do not sleep in your awareness of truth. You sleep in your forgetfulness. In your awareness, you are awake. In your gratitude, awakefulness is praise. Give thanks for every moment that you experience your awakened state to any degree or measure. Each glimmer and each fluttering of the eyes is a moment that is truly praiseworthy. Fall to your knees in gratitude, and you hasten upon itself the state that is fully awakened. Rest the mind that is sleeping, and it shall awaken from its dream. This reminds me of Eckhart Tolle's book, Stillness Speaks, when he was saying that when we lose, or we perceive ourselves losing someone, and we say that we lost something. Basically, Eckhart Tolle said, you can't lose life, you are life. You are always here. And that is what NTI is saying. And Papaji, somebody asked him about, does he remain vigilant? And he said, yes, absolutely, in every moment. And he thinks that that is joy. Now, we all know what mind he's in. Because to the ego mind, vigilance is not desirable. But to the truth of who we are, we're forever grateful to remain vigilant. And to let go and let God. Grace is what will move us to know our true self. Okay, gratitude is the way as it is resting. Have gratitude for the state of awakening and rest peacefully any murmurings of dreams. In this way, sleep may be finished and awakening may joylessly be received. Take my advice. Remember that it is your mind that you tend to. You are the leader of your own awakening. By your own decision do you awaken. So who are we? We are the power source of choosing who we want to listen to in every moment. Chapter 4. The peace of God is within you. The peace of God is eternal, and it is never lost. The peace of God is realized and accepted based upon the power of your own decision. It is up to you. You may choose the peace of God, and you may choose turmoil. You make your choice based upon the desire that seems dearest to you. Today is now. The mistake you make is thinking that today is tomorrow. And you see your true desire, but you put it off until another time. Truly, I tell you, if you do not choose the true desire of the heart now, it is because you believe that another desire may still be dearest to you. If you believe that another desire is dearest to the truth of your heart, you are sleeping, because you have forgotten who you are, and you have forgotten the truth of what you are. In your sleep, you do not remember that the true desire of the heart is your true desire now. And you do not, so you do not practice it. But in the fluttering of your eyes, you do remember. In that state of consciousness that mirrors awakening, you step outside of the dream and remember within the depths of your heart, which is your true desire. And so when you remember, act. Practice the true desire in each moment that you remember it. And you bring yourself closer to the state of full awakening. The Word of God is living and active. And the Word of God within the state of awakening is this. Let go of your dream. For how shall you awaken except through the choice to let go of your dream? In the awareness of your true desire within the perception of your dream, use the moment given to let go of your dream. This is the practice of awakening. This is the way to open the mind to the state of full awakening. You may approach each moment of awakening with confidence, because each moment is within the process that it is. You are awakening from your dreams. You are rousing yourself now. Celebrate the process you are within. Help yourself to awaken by joylessly letting go of your dreams. And this reminds me of a teaching from Regina about the practice of that we are really of the process. When we think we are, in the thinking mind, we are this person, we're not truly looking at the process. And that's what this whole thing is, one process. And when we sit in that process and accept truly that we are completely responsible for how we choose to see, then we really don't have much to do after that. Grace knows when we're ready. Grace comes to us when we are ready. And it's just beautiful when we can not be forgetful. If we do forget, well, then that's okay too. But as we deepen this practice, we don't really like forgetting because it hurts. So with chapter 13, I'll go on to say we are all one. Everything that you perceive, be it seen or unseen, within your awareness or known only as a memory, all that is one. Stand grateful within it, as it, in awe of all that it is. Then look at your brothers as yourself, remembering that he is yourself. And that's a capital S. Even if he seems to be completely unaware. This is a nice reminder of what Kathy read this morning in The Untethered Soul, chapter 17. If we really knew that we were going to die in a couple of days, would we waste any more time on our story? Would our story matter? That's what this is about. Really getting into the truth of who we are and making that claim that we are worthy of the truth, no matter what the story of the ego has for us. And that takes a deep desire and freedom. And then vigilance becomes joy. God is all things are you. This is because you are the process of creation that is God. And God is the process of creation that is you. Nothing is separable within the process that is God. It is all one. And you are one with it. All things are the same yesterday, today, and forever. For what they seem to be, for what they are. Look beyond what they seem to be, which changes to what they are, which can never change, and you look beyond dreams to the truth of who you are. Nothing within the dreams can last forever. And do not put your faith in dreams. Anything that is not lasting must fade away. Truth that is eternal. Put your faith in your truth, and you build your house on the foundation of rock. Put your faith in anything that is within the dream, and you have built your house on the shifting sand. Obviously, this is Spirit telling us that anything that changes is not who we are. That can't be. Could God change? No. Could stillness change? No. Could awareness change? This reminds me when Regina talks to the ATM machine, you know, because awareness is there. So everything that we see manifested in this world is a projection of our mind, but awareness makes all of this possible. And that is who we are. That is the true self. So dreams shall not endure, but your faith not within the symbols of dreams. Follow the symbols to the truth to which they point. But do not stop and wait at the feet of symbols. For all symbols must fade away. Only this truth endures forever. Love God, remembering that God is all things. This reminds me of Ken Wapnick saying, you know, think of God. Think of God always. God is best for me to think of. God is best. I don't know exactly how he said it. You know, but the thing is that everything is God. That's how powerful we are. So God is the process by which all things seem to be. God is not the thing that's happy. Love's God. It really is important. God is best for me now. In John Mundy's book, he met up with a woman in the 90s, and he asked her, what do you do during the day? And she said, well, I do crossword puzzles, but most of the time, my thoughts are with God. See, she wanted what's true for her. And she's in her 90s. I don't know that she hears stuff, but it's in his book. So if we sit in God, awareness, intuition, knowledge of knowing, and we let go, we don't know if grace will wake us totally up to the present of the holy instant all the time. Only the truth endures forever. Love God, remembering that God is all things. But do not cling to any one thing, remembering that it cannot be God. God can't be the body then. So any body out there is just a passing projection of mind. But looking through that is your brother. Looking through that is who we are. But do not, he's stating very important for me to hear this, do not cling to any one thing. That's the distraction that comes upon us. Remembering that it can't be God, because it's changing. God is not the thing that passes. God is the process by which all things seem to be. Listen within for the guidance of the heart. Follow your guidance and practice it with every breath. That's devotion. That's devotion. As they say, the Tao really can't be described. It just is. Trying to describe it would make it changing. So we do our best with words to point us to the stillness, the thing that never changes. Listen again to the guidance of the heart. Follow your guidance and practice it with your every breath. You know, it's funny, sometimes I see that the resistance of actually ignoring guidance. And that's just a wake-up call for me to go back and say, oh, I must have forgotten who I am. Sharon Baker, she named, Bob gave that name, that's my maiden name. And, you know, all those names mean nothing. And the truth of who I am is the truth of who you are, anyway. So I am now pray only that the knowledge of your truth may be restored to you, that all things within dreams be just as they may be. That's all it is. It's a dream. Are we going to wake someone up and try to change their dream when they go to sleep at night? You might get guidance to help out in the dream. It's a great, great teaching, Barb, that you picked out today. I love it. Great reading. Let all things within your dreams just be. Trust the process that is you, see? You're not a person, you're a process. That it may lead you back through dreams to the truth that is a remembrance of yourself with a capital S. Let go of dreams because they are not reality. The Spirit within guides you. We can count on the Holy Spirit to know where we are. It guides you through what you see without. Grace lives within your heart. Amen. I'll repeat that. Grace lives within your heart. Amen. Thank you for the privilege today, Barb, to be a reader in this wonderful sanctuary. And I bless everyone today from my heart. Thank you. I'm going to drop the mic.
Thank you, Sharon. Wonderful reading for today. It was a reading I first thought of when I was out of town and I was looking for something for the reading for today. And you know, looking at the index, Hebrews seemed to call out to me more than anything else. And I'm just looking right now at this because our topic is devotion. And if I look in the dictionary, there are many definitions. I'd like to get that website that Regina had that had the definition of guilt, because it seemed a little bit different than the definitions that I've heard. But the definition on of devotion is profound dedication. Profound dedication. And Sharon was talking about being vigilant. And really it is about, to me, devotion is the love within connecting with the truth. And so I when I'm looking at the reading today, it says here, in your sleep, and this is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 to 11, just the first part, it says, in your sleep you do not remember that the true desire of the heart is your true desire now, and so you do not practice it. You do not practice it. So practicing it, to me, is devotion. It is the love that you have. And it may not, for me, it wasn't a love initially as to why I got into A Course in Miracles and the other teachings. What it was actually kind of a deep yearning for truth. And as I practice it, the more I do this, and as Dove's putting in immersion, the more I practice, the more I'm devoted to it. Because in my devotion and my focus, then, you know, what will be that time, whenever it is, that I awaken. And, you know, really what it is just to us to remember. So, our true desire is to awaken. And I look in here, and I had a couple of readings from today, because I was looking for something that would be focusing on devotion. And I don't know how many years ago it was, but I did a I sent a donation into ASCENT, the to Dove's group, and I got a gift back for my donation, and it was the Garland of the Guru Sayings by Sri Muru Ganar. And there's one of them in there which I thought was really helpful to me to take in what I really felt devotion was. And so this is number 55, and actually it's called One Pointed Devotion. And it says here, these are kind of written like poems, it says, "Those whose hearts are Godward turned, as the magnetic needle to the north, can never lose their bearings as they sail the stormy ocean of desire. Safe like children who embrace a pillar and whirl around it fast, those who holding," and I think this is Shiva, S-I-V-A, and I will say that sentence again, but Shiva is, looking back in the back of the book, doesn't say how it's pronounced, but it does say that Shiva is the destroyer of Maya or illusion. So the destroyer of the illusion that we seem to see. So going back to that sentence, and I'm saying Shiva, it could be Siva, because it's S-I-V-A, but it says here, "Safe like children who embrace a pillar and whirl around it fast, those who holding Shiva firmly in the heart live in the world. Never fall into delusion." So let's say that again. "Those who holding Shiva firmly in the heart live in the world, never fall into delusion. They rely on God's strength, not the ego's weakness. Sustaining and pervading all transactions stands one being true, supreme. If on this being the mind is fixed, one can be free from," and I don't know what this word is, but it's called karking, C-A-R-K-I-N-G, karking, karking care. So if on this being the mind is fixed, one can be free of karking care, even when doing a myriad actions. "The rice that roams around is ground to fine flour in the quern." Again, that's Q-U-E-R-N. "The grains that stay still on the nether stone close to the axle stay intact and sound." I'll read that again. "The rice that roams around is ground to fine flour in the quern. The grains that stay in the nether zone, stone, on the nether stone," which I would assume would be close to the axle, as it says here, "stay intact and sound." So that is about keeping yourself one point of devotion. And I'll have to admit, I did not look up the term quern. Let's see here. I think it's some kind of like grinding device. If I look into, I'm just going to quickly look it up as we're talking here. But it's a stone tool for hand grinding. That's what it is. Okay, so we know that. And well, anyway, I don't think that one's going to work out. Let's see here. I'm just going to check one thing. Well, karking, actually, I mentioned that earlier. One can be free from karking care, and karking is like an anxiety or a worry. That's an old word, probably. And it was interesting in this Garland of the Guru saying, there's a little kind of a parenthetical that says here, I think it has to do with something else though, so I'm going to let that one go. So that doesn't really apply to what we're doing here. So, but I love the one-pointed devotion, because for those of us who are dedicated, again, this is dedication to our path or non-path, you know, it becomes like a love, because we love it. And I know several times in NTI it talks about the love we have for this work. As we develop our practice, as we let go of more and more of the attachments and the delusions that we have, we begin to see this other way. And in that other way, there is this love that develops with us, in us, through us, that allows us to just continue deepening our practice, to deepening our movements through every day, to open our heart. I got, you know, a lot of encouragement to open my heart. And to me, opening my heart is also a form of devotion, because it is keeping us on track. So devotion is keeps us on track in our everyday life. I like the way Adi Ashanti talks about, and Regina's talked about this too, how, you know, we wonder, well, how am I going to follow? How am I going to follow this guidance? How do I hear this guidance? And I sometimes hear a word. But he talks about, you know, he got to the point where it's almost like you walk down the road and it's easier to go one way than the other. It's like it just falls in front of you. And so you know which way to go. You know which decision to make, because it just falls naturally for you. And it reminds me of, can't remember where I read it, but the Ganesh god, the Indian god Ganesh, with the has the trunk of the elephant, kind of clears the way, clears your path for you. I can't remember if it's NTI or ACIM, but it does say that. So really our path is clear, so it becomes very clear, you know, as we practice our devotion and our vigilance, that we basically follow this path as it naturally falls in front of us, almost like going down a yellow brick road. So I love this I call it a poem. This way it seems to be written in the Garland of the Guru Sayings, and I say the dub. I haven't really read this very much, but I probably will over time. I'll pick one at a time and spend some time with it. And I actually read this yesterday, and I really loved it. So I really like the visual of the rice that stays close to the axle stays intact and sound and doesn't get ground up into the world. So that was a really good reading. And then there's another one I wanted to mention as well. And this is, you all know, or many of you know, that I really like Robert Adams. Yay. And so he does have a really nice little paragraph on devotion. And this is what Robert Adams says about devotion. Says, make no mistake about it. If you want, and I think it's jhana, J-N-A-N-A, which is really knowledge of yourself, big S self. Make no mistake about it. If you want jhana, or whatever, you have to have bhakti. In other words, I'm reading my own handwriting here. In other words, you have to have an open heart. Okay, make no mistake about it. If you want jhana, you have to have bhakti. In other words, you have to have an open heart. When your heart opens, automatically the self, big S self, appears. But how does the heart open? Through love, through devotion. Through devotion of that self, big S self. Many people do not understand this. When people get involved in jhana, they become very talkative, and they discuss and talk about it and memorize it and read books about it. The years pass, and you become a walking encyclopedia, but you hardly made any progress. To make progress, there has to be devotion. You have to love yourself. not what you appear to be, but yourself, God. When you begin to truly become a bhakti, bhakta, I think it is, and you love yourself, the self you love becomes okay, I gotta say this again because I got my own handwriting. It says here, when you begin to truly become a bhakta and you love yourself, the self you love becomes omnipresence, all-pervading. So naturally and automatically you love everybody in this world. Insects, animals, insentient and sentient beings, everything. You can only do this when you open your heart and you love yourself. That person becomes self-realized. That person becomes self-realized. So I love this thing. Robert Adams is, you know, he doesn't pull any punches. And he's saying that a devotion to the self, here he says, your heart opens and the self appears. I just love that. Is Kathy saying, even animals that bite. That's so cute. But in our daily practice is to do it with love, with an open heart. In our open heart is our devotion. Because we don't put anything else in front of it. It's just there. And in that devotion, in that open heart, we do become self-realized. And practice throughout the years, instead of becoming an encyclopedia of all the things, because I have to say, for me, I can't remember a lot of stuff. I'll forget the word. The other day, I forgot the word of, I was up in Victoria, B.C., seeing Jan and Brian Simmons, and I'm sitting there talking to Brian about something, and I said, what is that word? It's that thing in the sink that the water comes out of. Oh, the faucet. So I end up, like, forgetting things, but I'll remember it if I describe it to someone, and they'll remember it for me. And it's kind of how we do here in our practice. We have other people remind us sometimes of our own truth and what our focus is, to take that and go within and find that for ourselves through our own devotion. Love yourself. You remember at the end of, I'm going to go back to Hebrews again. Hey, it was a good reading after all. I was thinking I'd want to do something more Eastern reading, and I was talking to Sharon about that this morning, but... You know, and we were talking about, what do I do for a reading here, because I didn't have a lot of materials with me when I was up there. And I, you know, Hebrews. And I was thinking, well, maybe something else. But then it came back that this was good. So, you know, if you look at Hebrews 13, you know, it says to love God, remembering that God is all things. Well, really, it's loving yourself. But, you know, in the world, we have forgotten that self is that extension of God. And so we, you know, this is a reminder. This is a reminder to us that the love that we are is that extension of God. And the more we open our heart and we have that devotion, that we, you know, naturally through grace, whenever that time is, maybe it is this seeming lifetime, maybe it's not, but it is, it will be. So, I like the way it says here in 13, trust the process that is you, that it may lead you back through dreams to the truth that is the remembrance of yourself, which is love. And grace lives within my heart. You know, Regina talked a while back about, you know, what is it about me that has not changed? What is it that is not, that is unchanging? And it says here, do not cling to any one thing, remembering that it cannot be God. God is not the thing that passes. God is the process by which all things seem to be. And we're a process, not a person, not a personality. And that substance of who we are is that love. What we are is the love. And not a love that I can even describe. I like the way Adyashanti talks about it. You know, we've got books, we've got teachings, and they're pointing. It's the pointing. He says pointing to the moon or something. But it's pointing to our truth within us, and that truth is the love. And really what we're here to do is uncover what's already there. So, for me, I can only say that this devotion is just seeming to be more precious to me as time goes on. Because it's like the devotion is my remembrance of living in the moment. I live in the moment, and when I live in the moment, I can remember. When I live in the moment, I'm not trying to decide what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. I'm not going to plan. You know, the less I plan, the happier I am. And really, that's my devotion is my daily practice of opening my heart. And actually, that came up a couple of weeks ago when I was journaling, and I was struggling with things. I was struggling with resistance in some way, shape, or form, and I can't remember exactly which process of purification I was using, but I was it came in my writing to open the heart, you know, because I was doing all this stuff, but it looked like it was more in the head. You know, the intellectual practice of this devotion is a heart practice. And so for me, it has to be in the heart. And as Adi Ashanti says, you know, when you're asking, what am I or who am I, you know, focus on the neck down. So the neck down, there's that heart. And that is my devotional practice, is to open my heart every day. So Robert Adams says that is. Looking at that, he says, if you want to have the knowledge of the self, you have to have an open heart, which is your, and when your heart opens, automatically the self appears. And this, through love, he says, through devotion. So that is how does the heart opens. It opens through devotion. So the more that I am devoted to this practice, to this, whatever it is I can use to undo this thinking mind, this ego, personality, this separation, the more I can open my, more I'm devoted to that, the more my heart opens, and that's how I see this. So, isn't it wonderful that we have these teachers? I mean, Robert Adams is just wonderful. I've talked about him a load on this thing, but I really love Robert Adams, Adi Ashanti. Love to listen to Regina. I'm grateful that she is one of my main teachers. But really, it all comes down to our own practice. It comes down to our heart practice. And not intellectualizing, not reading and being an encyclopedia, not going through the years and being able to recite, but really application. It's when the rubber meets the road, when things seem to be really, really difficult for us. That's when, you know, often we either, you know, get trampled by the, quote, world, or we get down and we realize that our way isn't really making us happy. And, you know, what have we got to lose? I think it says somewhere in A Course in Miracles, I get it right here. And then The Course in Miracles in, I think it's 20 or 21. Anyway, it's you know what? Let me get my other book. My book that's actually fallen apart. But it has all the stuff underlined, which is great. All the sections underlined. Okay, rules for decision. In rules for decision. And I will end with that. But in rules for decision, it says at the end, perhaps there's another way of looking at this. And here's what I like. What can I lose but ask by asking? Perhaps there is another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? What can we lose by following this path, following our heart? What can we lose? Absolutely nothing. Anyway, I feel that I'm finished for this, at least, unless I have to say something more. But I think that feels like that would be a good time to end this morning's message on devotionist practice. And thank you very much. I'm going to put on some music now. And what we'll do in the music time is Lynn is going to put up a link, because this is a really good time for us to contemplate this message. This is a good time to take this into our daily lives. And also, I know Lynn will put up a link for donations, because this organization does not run on no money. Actually, we do need money for this organization to continue, so we appreciate any donations that you can make. So let me put on some music so we can reflect and maybe make a donation if you're so called to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, now we're coming to the time where if somebody would like to share, I do hand the mic over to someone if they'd like to share on on the message today. Maybe there's something that called to you, maybe you had some kind of realization you'd like to share with us, or maybe just you have your own experiences with devotion in your practice. So I'm going to open the mic. Would anybody like to share this morning? Oh, Regina would. Oh, thank you, Regina. I really appreciate that. Here we go.
Okay, first of all, Barb, I just want to say great job. And the reason I say that is because as you were speaking, my heart opened. And so you did a really good job, not only in the information you shared, but just in the way you shared it. It was just wonderful, and I want to thank you for that. When you were speaking, you talked about how as we love our self, whoops, where'd you go? Okay, there we go. I was wiping something off my computer, and I wiped you away for a second. That as we love ourself, meaning our true self, that we also love all things. And that, of course, is because all things is our true self. We can't love our true self without loving all things. But you were kind of joking for a second, and you were saying even animals, and you said something like, even dogs that bite. And that reminded me of a Ramana Maharshi story where he was out taking a walk one day, and he stepped off the trail a little bit, and he accidentally stepped into a hornet's nest. And, of course, the hornets got very angry, and they came out and they stung his leg. And the way the story is told is that Ramana stood there and waited until they were done stinging him. Because he said, I disturbed their home, and now, what they wanted to do was to tell me not to do that. And, he just had so much love for them that he just stood there and let them sting him. And, of course, his leg did swell up and all that, but that was not at all bothersome to him. And, there are so many stories. Jasmine has an entire book about Ramana and his relationship with animals, and in this case insects, and his love for them in their natural state and not asking them to be different than they are. And, when you said we love all things, if we love our true self, we love all things, even dogs that bite. It reminded me of that and how Ramana loved even the hornets that were stinging his leg. That's it. Thank you. Love.
Oh, Kathy would like to share. Let go of the mic. Thank you, Kathy.
Can you guys hear me? Thanks. The dogs that bite, I had been sharing in my morning talk this morning with the Untethered Soul stuff that it mentioned something about a dog, and I related to whoever was in the room at the time that I got bit by a dog yesterday, and I'm a dog walker, and ironically enough, the dog was my daughter's dog, who is an adopted dog, a rescue dog, and, everybody in the family knows he's a little squirrely, but we've learned to, be more trusting of him as time has gone on. And so yesterday when they were visiting, we had an incident and the dog bit me. And so that's really kind of why I typed into the board, love even the dogs that bite, because truly it's just a call for love, not storing, some fear in my heart that now when the dog comes over I have to, be afraid and go down that path. So, yes, caution is certainly appropriate, but what will I turn it into or not? So that's really all I have to say. Thanks.
Oh, looks like Lynn wants to come on. Let me go ahead and let go of the mic. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, dog bites. Absolutely. Here we go.
That is so funny. in response to what Regina was saying about Ramana with the hornets. And all of this, I realize, because I have my little garden where I go to meditate, and what happened in my little garden while I was meditating is that mosquitoes were coming around. And especially with all the rain that we've been having here in Pueblo over the last few weeks, we've had quite a few more mosquitoes than I generally deal with. And I think it was it Muji that I was listening to who was saying, this, it's the mosquito, it's their natural, it's their life. their life is to, you know, drink your blood to live, to make their life, to make their families. And you are no different. I'm no different than they are. We are the same thing. And it is true, we are the same thing. And so when the mosquitoes started coming, I didn't argue with them. I made a deal with them, and I said, I will be okay. You can come invite me if this is what you need to do to live, to be your life, for your life to be. Please feel free to come invite me, because you know I'm a part of you, and we are all the same thing. And I have to tell you, I don't get bitten. Everybody else comes out and they're like, the mosquitoes are driving me crazy, they're biting me crazy. I'm sitting out there for hours and not being touched. And I know it's because I just have this peaceful allowance that if this is what you need for your life, then, you know, I'm your man. I'm here for you. And, you know, I'm just realizing such a communion with everything that there's no need to fight or argue or even bargain with these things. Just live with them and know that it's all perfect. And, yes, exactly. I spoke to them as equals. We are the same thing. And you might say, well, a human and a mosquito are not anywhere near the same thing. No, we are the same thing. We are the creation of God. And whatever form it may seem to take, it's all the same thing. And seeing that and being a part of it, then I'm joyful. I'm happy. You know, come take what you need. And just like I take what I need, and we all live in harmony here. So it is pretty funny, though, that I don't get bitten, and I don't put on spray, and I don't use nothing. They just don't eat me. But they're welcome to if they want to. And so I'll give up the mic for Dolores. Thanks, you guys, for letting me share.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Barb, for sharing. Lynn, my grandmother, when she was alive, she lived in Arkansas, and we would visit her, and all of us would be getting eaten up by mosquitoes. We'd visit from Erie, and she'd be the only one not getting bit by mosquitoes. She was just at peace. So, but I wanted to say, Barb, about the topic of devotion, excuse me, I'm in the ministerial program, and I was doing my assignment for the Dow, and let me go back. I've been involved with 12-step program for about over 20 years, and we have to write about ourselves through the steps, you know, and we go over our story in the steps, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, and we write about ourselves. And I've been kind of having a conflict with that a little bit lately because I have to keep going back into my story. And so, but when I was writing about the Tao yesterday, I thought about how I needed to relate to my divine self, that I need to start having a relationship with that. And that it does take devotion and practice. And that's one reason why I got involved with the ministerial program, was to try to start developing a practice to have a relationship with that. But I do find I'm having like a conflict. I'm supposed to be writing my steps out, and in my steps, I have to write about my story. And I have to go back in the past and rehash that, and why I did this and why I did that, and I'm just having a conflict with that. But I'm going to drop the mic. Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Regina. Wonderful that you all are sharing. I think one other person. But I wanted to read this again, Regina, if you're still in the room. Let me check. This was where I got that. you there. That part of it about the animals, I'll read that again because it says it at the end of Robert Adams. And by the way, I tried to find this in Silence of the Heart, the book I have, but I couldn't find it. When I was up in Victoria, I was looking for devotion, anything. I was looking in Robert Adams, and there was a satsang, number 26, and that was what I read from. But just to read that one where he mentions the animals again, it says here, when you, this is the end, it's the end of the reading, when you begin to truly become a bhakta, okay, I'm not going to go into what that is, but maybe I should, just because these terms are not, like, intuitive to me, bhakta, bhakti, which is the loving participation in the divine, love and devotion, again, that's what it is, great, perfect, on point. A bhakta is the follower of bhakti yogi. And bhakti yogi is the spiritual sentiment of loving participation in the design, in the divine. So when I say that word, you'll know. Okay, so when you begin to truly become a bhakta and you love yourself, the self you love becomes omnipresent, all-pervading. So naturally and automatically, you love everybody in this world, insects, animals, sentient beings, everything. You can only do this when you open your heart and you love yourself. That person becomes self-realized. And so that's where we started that conversation. So you love everything. It's that flow of life. Anyway, we're at the end of the service this morning, the assembly, I like to call it. I really appreciate your time here, and I know we have an hour for social afterwards that's hosted by Lynn Johnson, Sweet Dreams, so if you'd like to stay for that, that'd be great. I wanted to say one other thing before I go, and that was about the retreat in Santa Barbara. Regina reminded me on an email that they have to report the number of people going to the retreat by August 20th, and after that, people can register only if the retreat center agrees to an add-on, which is not guaranteed. So, again, just to kind of fold that one in, if you want to come along to the satsang in September, you really need to get that going in pretty soon, because we got the 10th today. Today's the 10th, so it's going to be shortly. Get it in by 19th of August, if we can. And hopefully we have a lot of people there. It'll be a wonderful time to get together. Again, the deadline for payment is August 19th. You can go on the website to the events page. You'll see that. You can register. But it has to be paid by the 19th. And they have to, you know, after August 20th, they really do need to get permission to have additional people. And so, again, that goes for the weekend, and it goes through the next week as well. Hope that you all love to come and maybe get a chance, especially if you live on the West Coast. Good idea. So thanks again, and I'm turning it over to Lynn to be our host for the next hour, and then I'll be on in another hour. And in another hour, I'm going to talk about my trip to Victoria. So let's